If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Hello and welcome to The Greatest Generation, a podcast by two people a little bit ashamed to have a podcast about Star Trek, but I guess not so proud as to actually prevent them from having one.
I like your inflection, The Greatest Generation.
Yeah, I think we're on episode 3. I think it's time to start testing some stuff out, maybe.
Yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Ben Harrison.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't introduce myself. I'm Adam Pranica. And
I think that was my fault. I stepped on it.
Well, if anyone listening is trying to look up either of those names, they're fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you did happen to find any search returns for them, those aren't us.
Purely coincidental.
Right, right. Pretty common names,
yeah.
I think.
Yep. Yeah, there was a guy in my college with the same name, so put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, idiots.
Yeah, don't fuck you.
Don't even try to send us emails or voicemails or go look at a website that we may or may not be thinking about having.
Yeah, one thing we need to talk about is what our domain name is going to be. And the first thing that came to my mind was starship.enterprises, because .enterprises is a top-level domain, but obviously that's long gone.
Is there anyone who works at the internet that would just give you a wedgie for even asking about a domain like that?
Yeah. I also came up with darmok.xyz in reference to a beloved episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, Darmok.
Is gach.biz available?
The other one that I came up with, which is really like, and you may agree, as embarrassing as the fact that we have this show in the first place, which is 1701-D.enterprises.
Oh, God. That is just the atomic wedgie of domains right there.
How do you spell gach?
I'm sure there are some Star Trek nerds who are positive about how to spell it.
That they're, yeah. Let me see.
That's
okay,
got
to
so be
first
available,
they have
right?
to Google gach, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we can edit out the search part, but I think it's important to see if it's available. That might be my favorite of all the choices.
Oh, this is fun. The first autofill when I search Star Trek gach is Star Trek gach recipe. Let's see what comes up there.
That might be a very special episode of The Greatest Generation where we decide to make that.
Oh, wow. It includes cow tongue, bay leaves, garlic, breadcrumbs, rubbed sage. This is just like a lengua recipe, pretty much.
Well, you'd be a fool to cook your beef tongue without those bay leaves.
This is on Klingon.org.
Bay leaves, the warrior's herb.
Man, this is an upsetting rabbit hole. I don't want to go down it any further.
Just when you think that we're being super nerdy in even having this podcast, you find an even bigger nerd or set of nerds having their own website for stuff like this, and suddenly I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, it's one of the very comforting things about being a fan of Star Trek is that I will never even come close to going as nerdy as it's possible to go.
Yeah, we've got a lot of wedgy human shields to throw in front of us before any of the jocks come looking for these Star Trek nerds.
Okay, well, gach.biz is available at the time of this recording. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, man, and it's the proper spelling.
Yep, that's G-A-G-H.
We should, edit this part out for sure, but we should be naming our episodes.
Yeah.
And
I guess we haven't done that.
I don't think they should be the name of the episode. I think they should be like canonical to our recording. And the name of this episode, if it were to be gach.biz, I think would be great.
Fair enough.
Name of episode 2 could be Drunk Shinoda.
I think Drunk Shinoda might be our top contribution to podcasting.
Yeah.
In the entire run of this show. Like, I don't know if we'll ever get back to that level of sublime ridiculousness.
We really need to nominate a Drunk Shinoda for every episode. I think that's important. We keep his spirit alive.
Okay, okay.
You know what? He might be in heaven right now, stacking computer chips and giggling like a special child.
Yeah.
He'll always be alive in our hearts.
So if we're going to narrow it down, I would say that our top two contenders are 1701-D.Enterprises and gach.biz. I'm going to throw in a wild card, gach.catering. What do you think?
That's a thing.
Yeah, .catering is available.
Oh, God. Just to me, anything .biz is inherently more funny.
It's always funnier, yeah.
Than the regular. And I can't even explain why using any sort of comedy math. It just works for me. We could have both, and they could both go to the same place.
Listen, if we get both, it's going to be like more than $30. So I think we just have to pick one. If somebody wants to make like a, you know, troll us and buy the other, you know, fine. But...
My vote is gach.biz, and not just because I came up with it. It really, like, it fires off the tongue like the F word. Like, it's two F words put together.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, well.
And it'll look great on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
A t-shirt that will sell to no one.
Yeah, because we don't really want to, like, engage with this more than we have to.
I'm really excited to cook the gach and actually put the video of that up on our new website.
Yeah.
We're going to use this website for all sorts of things.
You're more ambitious than I am, Adam. Should we get to the episode?
Yeah, let's hit it.
This is Code of Honor, and... I'm starting to wonder if there was a reason I liked this series as a kid, because we are three episodes in and it seems like each episode is a bigger turkey than the last.
If you're a network and you're buying syndicated shows and this is like notably the biggest syndication series ever, like you have a choice. You don't have to buy this show. How many episodes are you watching before you sign on the dotted line, the line that is dotted, to buy Star Trek The Next Generation? I think most of the people who bought the show didn't see this far.
No, yeah.
Because if they had, I think they're definitely not buying.
And this, I think, so if memory serves, is like an episode from the first season that really typifies something about the first season of The Next Generation, which is that almost like... in cuts, like you could confuse this for the original series, like it'll be like camera angle one cut to camera angle two, and you're like, did I just go back in time 30 years? Or
yeah, the blocking of the scenes looks very original series. The music even was like sort of overtly cheesy.
Yeah. And like every time they go outside, you can tell that the psych is about 5 feet away from the back of the actors' heads.
Yeah, everything's got a shadow on it, even
the
sky. Hillside.
Yeah. So here's the premise. The Enterprise arrives at Ligon 2 to acquire a vaccine that they need for some other planet and the people on this planet are the only people capable of making this life-saving medicine, and they are vastly less technologically advanced than the Federation. They're not members of the Federation, and they are comparatively primitive in terms of technology. So the Enterprise shows up looking to pick up some of this vaccine, and the ruler of Ligon 2, or at least the guy that they're dealing with, is he the ruler or is he just a ruler?
I got the feeling that he was a ruler.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be like totally supreme or anything. But
I think if he were, the planet would have died hundreds of years ago. The guy's an idiot.
Right. So anyways, like every other dude on this show so far, he falls hard for Tasha Yar.
Who wouldn't? And
he's also totally blown away that they have permitted women to have roles in their society other than landowner, I guess, because he comes from a society where women own the land and men protect the land. So he abducts Tasha Yar, and that's sort of the big problem of the episode that the Enterprise is trying to solve. And it's a big, like, it's the first Prime Directive episode of the Next Generation.
It's really like, it's trading drugs for hostages.
Yeah, oh,
is
yeah.
It's the story. It's sort of some Oliver North shit, right?
Yeah. A lot of Reagan going on in this episode. That is the Reagan years, I guess. You know, the abduction is already a kind of puzzling choice in the script, of the many puzzling choices that were made in this episode.
Yeah.
They spend basically the first 10 minutes of the episode establishing what a fucking badass Yar is. Like, anytime somebody steps to her, she, like, flips them on the floor. She takes them to the holodeck at one point and shows that she's a pretty serious badass when it comes to Aikido. And then somehow he grabs her and is able to transport her back to his planet without her being able to, you know, wrestle out of his grip or whatever.
Well, they refer to it a couple of times later on. Like, is it because she feels some latent attraction to him?
Oh, you think so?
Maybe
he goes
she allowed
in,
herself.
She's like,
to
maybe
be
he's
taken.
Hugging me.
Yeah, I feel so safe in his arms.
I don't know if we've explicitly said this yet, but I think we probably should. The Ligonians are all black and styled in a very, like, Coming to America-esque racist Africana type clothing.
It is terribly racist. And, like, setting aside for a moment, like, the idea that they're all, like, pretty jacked black people.
Right. Who have, they're wearing, like, kind of open shirts and vests and things, and they're probably oiled up a little bit, I'm going to say.
The planet they live on is like a Las Vegas version of Aladdin. the planet is like an all-inclusive Mexican resort. Like, it's just,
it's
really,
like, what?
Really low rent. Like, if this is the best they can do, it's troubling.
Right.
But they've got the drugs.
It's what you experience if you travel to another culture but stay within, like, a Western milieu the entire time. It's like the equivalent of a beach resort in Egypt that only Americans and Brits go to, or any beach fucking resort anywhere, like, that is a safe place for cruise ships to pull into.
It definitely has that feel. Also, like, where the fuck is Worf during the entire thing?
Yeah, Worf definitely hasn't come into his own as, like, the Klingon warrior character that he winds up being. And also, I guess, isn't really in the security apparatus of the ship at this point. He's kind of a con officer, I think.
God, what a dumb choice.
Yeah, they start Worf in a red uniform, which really, really like flies in the face of everything we know about Worf. So Picard is really like, is really like not sure what to do about this until he decides that what Lutan, this ruler character, has pulled is a counting coup, or a honorific show of heroism to that he needs to kind of get on their cultural wavelength to deal with. Like, he can't treat this like it's a criminal abduction. He has to treat it like it was like a respectable show of honor, and there are like procedures within the construct of that honor to get Yar back. But another wrench is thrown in the works when they go down to the planet and they are basically on the verge of getting her freedom, and Lutan declares that he wants Yar to be his first one or wife, and that comes as a big surprise to the Enterprise crew, but also his current wife, Yarina.
Yeah, she's not happy at all with this decision.
No, she's fucking pissed.
Pissed, and she's ready to kill.
Yeah, so her response is challenging Yar to a fight to the death, which is apparently the only way their culture has devised. I guess they're a spacefaring culture, right? Like, they have orbital defenses and stuff.
So, right, and they can transport places. Like, right. They seem pretty sophisticated in other way except interacting with anyone else.
Right. Yeah, so so Yar has to train for this fight, and one of the things we find out is that they fight with these fist weapons that are, it's like a, you stick your hand inside of a ball that has spikes coming out of it, and the spikes are poisoned and are like, it's a very sophisticated poison that can kill you instantly.
An interesting part about that scene is like, you know, the weapons are brought in these big toolboxes, these big red toolboxes. And like, I think there's like three or four of them. We only ever see one.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was because they were all the same or if they had like a choice, but they chose the same weapon.
Yeah, it's like bird beak looking one, the spiky bird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a ball with a bird beak and spikes. but that scene ends with them looking out the window down into the courtyard where this fight is going to take place the next day, and Yarina is practicing on the jungle gym that they are going to have this fight on. And I felt very bad for the actress that they cast in this part, because she's definitely like an actress, not a dancer or a martial artist of any kind.
Yeah. And they clearly just told her like, fuck around on the monkey bars down here.
Yeah.
And like flail around.
It's embarrassing. It's bad.
Yeah, it really is.
And like, they don't even do her the courtesy of like going into a very tight close up so you can't see what she's doing and there's a lot of motion blur. Like, it's like a wide shot of a jungle gym with a grown woman twirling around it.
It looks like a special needs kid practicing LARPing.
Yeah.
It's
really
sad.
Bad and not intimidating at all, but they play there's a music cue there that's like, oh my God, Yar is fucked, is the emotion that we were trying to evoke in the audience.
The music cue they should have used when they separated the ship in episode one.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
The fight pops off. They establish very early on that this poison is, in fact, super deadly when Yarina's poison punching device flies off of her hand and hits a guy who's just sitting in the audience.
Yeah, that guy just caught a foul ball.
He kills right over.
I think they got to do something about those seats right next to the...
Yeah, yeah. Right, like a Gallagher show, you need some plastic wrap to hold up if there's ever a splash.
Yeah, that's a tough break. I mean, that's, I think, why you want to bring your glove to the game.
And in this scene, we sort of realize that Hagon, who's the kind of major domo or second in command to Lutan, is more emotionally engaged in this fight than he probably should be if he weren't secretly in love with Yarina. I just noticed that Yarina and Yar are like ridiculously similar names.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
That's just lazy.
Anyways, the Enterprise crew has like worked some shit out. So the second Yar obviously wins the fight, she jumps on top of Yarina and they get transported up to sick bay, presumably, while the Lagonians, you know, walk around and act outraged that the body isn't there for them or whatever. I can't remember where in the episode this happens, but there is a scene like randomly peppered in where Data and Geordi are talking about jokes. I feel like it might be right in here where Data's like trying out some bits on Geordi and Geordi doesn't think they're funny.
Yeah. And it, Geordi has clearly been through it hundreds of times. I think he even mentions that. Like, yeah. Geordi tries to leave, and Data blocks his progress. I think Geordi was joke raped.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was also the scene where he shaves with that little blue thing.
Oh, yeah. They never really come back to that.
We never really see grooming, right?
Yeah.
Like, this blue cube doesn't even light up. Like,
yeah.
LeVar Burton just sort of holds it around his face.
Right. Yeah, like, maybe they meant to, like, wire an LED into it and the prop department dropped the ball or something.
This is three straight episodes of like prop department bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that especially in this era of television, first seasons of shows really didn't get much budget to play with. We were talking on my other show about the X-Files recently and how the first season is just like a real slog in terms of set design and,
yeah,
and budgetary choices because they had zero money. But by the time the show's popular, you know, they really like have a lot to work with. So
yeah, they're playing with a little more house money.
Yeah, I think the same is probably true of Trek, Next Generation. Anyways, this all gets resolved when Lutan beams back up to the Enterprise and is outraged to discover that Yarina is not in fact dead.
Very much so.
But the fact that she was dead momentarily, and then revived, I guess, means that, I guess whatever like property right claim he had on her is dissolved. And then she decides to pledge her property rights to, Hagon. And this is like the weakest moment of a very weak episode because it's sort of like an awkward way of tying up a alien legal dispute in a bow. And it's like hard to really bring yourself to care about the legal systems of this racist caricature of what it would be like if Africans had a whole planet or something.
They try to peanut butter over a little bit more conflict, like having to do with the Prime Directive and why, you know, they can't just go and take either the drugs or Tasha Yar back by force. And that's another example of like Picard basically turning to camera and explaining to the dumb viewer, you know, the reasons why they can't end this episode after 10 minutes.
Right. And I think Hagon's parting line is, "You may excel in technology, but not in civilized behavior."
Yeah, that's fair.
I guess so.
Like, that's a real game respect game moment right there at the very end.
Yeah. So, anyways, they get their fucking vaccine and Yar's okay. And Lutan is duly chastened by the entire proceedings.
Yeah, now Hagon's stuck with her. Good luck, Hagon.
Good luck with Yarina.
If her lovemaking is anything like her display on the fighting field, good luck.
What would you call that? Fighting rink?
Probably really spasmatic and
yeah,
like, probably not a lot of rhythm.
probably a little bit of Elaine Bennis kind of kind of rhythm to it.
Yeah. My love is a fever, long and chill for that which
longer nurses the disease. Tell me more. You'll have to go again. Tough episode. I read on the Wikipedia page that the director who determined to cast only black actors in the part of the Ligonians was fired for being such a racist. So
go figure.
It's not necessarily something that was in the script, and in fact there's a couple of moments in the script that make me think it really wasn't intentional on the part of the screenwriters. Not to say that the screenwriters are without blame here,
right. But
they like present the Ligonians with a ceramic horse from some era of Chinese history.
Yeah.
At one point, which makes me think that maybe like the honor code that they sort of intended in the script was maybe more loosely based on an Eastern like samurai honor code or something like that. But it's like an episode that everybody that has been interviewed about that was like a actor on the show is sort of embarrassed to have been involved with, which
yeah, they should be.
It's also instructive of this era of television where they're like, wow, did we just do something really racist? I guess we'll have to put it on TV.
Yeah. 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 And no, like this is a season that basically has 30 episodes in it. Like I think they could have done without this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Wow. Well,
this was another episode that really took full advantage of the awkwardness of one Wesley Crusher.
Oh, yeah.
Who his mom left in the turbo lift for like, I want to say like a good 5 minutes. He's in a turbo lift with the door open.
Like, I was really hoping when that scene started, because it's the scene starts with just like the turbo lift door opening on the bridge. Crusher walks off and then you see Wesley like poke his head around the corner.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping that would just like the door would close and it would sort of go uncommented on that. He was just like curiously like peeking at the,
see, that would be way more sophisticated than what we get, because when I was watching that scene, I was waiting for like the ding when you have the elevator doors open too long, like someone's hitting the call button from another floor. That person must've been so pissed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like there's a shift change on the bridge at some point, and Wesley is just like holding the door.
Well, Adam, you and I both know that that's not the only turbo lift shaft that accesses the bridge, but
we do know that. Yeah. But we also know that Wesley is Beverly's son, right. Even though Beverly takes every opportunity to tell Picard that she introduces him as Wesley, my son, in that yeah. meeting. I don't know if you caught that. She's yeah. like, do you remember that you banned Wesley, my son, from your bridge? Like,
yeah,
yeah, we get it. We know who he is.
Yeah. It's like in a student film script when one character turns to the other and says, look, David, you're my brother, so you know that I blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Just like, who is this lady who has a vested interest in this young person?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, yeah. And they finally like let him sit at the con, right?
Yeah. This is Wesley's first time working on the bridge, as though that's okay.
I think we're all lucky he wasn't invited to sit on someone's lap.
Yeah.
So he takes the con, and then we go about our business with the rest of the episode. I think a full day passes. Like, and by the end of the episode, he's still there. Did you notice
right.
that?
Picard beams back up, and he's like, he turns to Riker, and he's like, what the fuck is going on here? And Riker's like, oh, yeah, like... that was my fault. Like,
yeah, yeah, and you know Wes is not going to leave once he sits in the chair. He's probably just pissed and shit in it for like 36 hours.
Yeah.
Getting his fill of the con.
I like to think that this is a post-bodily function future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
in the same way that it's a post-scarcity future. But
wow, we can only hope.
We can only hope, yeah. I mean...
it sounds wonderful.
The series has never made an effort to show what bathroom time is like in the 23rd century or 24th century or whatever it is. But
it's a missed opportunity. I mean, we see Tasha Yar boning down with a robot, and we But we aren't mature enough as viewers to see someone use a urinal. Pretty messed up, man.
Pretty messed up. You'd think that they could at least get like a three shells joke going or something like that. Sorry.
We're just skipping around here, which I like. You know when Tasha was giving Lutan the whole tour of the holodeck?
Yeah.
Like, at first they give that job to Riker. Did you notice that? Like, hey, Riker, why don't you give Lutan a tour of the holodeck? Show him how that works.
Oh, weird. Yeah, and then...
I think we were moments away of seeing something really fucked up happening in the holodeck.
Yeah, he puts
like,
a finger in his car.
Like, how much more impressed would Lutan be?
I actually have a program running right now that is not exactly appropriate for a diplomatic occasion.
Hey,
such
can
as
you just
this.
Wait down the hall and let me change these settings?
Let me squeegee down the black and yellow walls.
I'll holler when it's safe for you to come in. Oh, how much man. More impressed would Lutan have been if he walks in and it's just like a ferocious orgy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. That Riker. God, I think they even say, like no one knows more about the holodeck than Commander Riker. We'll have him show you. But it's it's Lutan himself who wants the tour from Tasha, and I get yeah. that. He's a man who
knows what he wants.
Yeah, his junk has taken the lead at that point.
Yeah. Do you believe that that Yar was, in fact, attracted to him on some level?
No, I don't. And I think I think we were made to think that, but I just
right.
think the way...
That's sort of another element of the racism in this script. It's like the oversexed African character that is somehow a threat to the white woman kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, I mean... There's that, but also, like, they give it such little emphasis. Like, I think Troy asks Tasha Yar, like, you're totally into him, aren't you? Like, she sort of, like, seed of doubts her, and then yeah. she sort of admits it, but she's real mealy-mouthed about it. Like, it's not convincing to me when she says that she's, what does she say? It's attraction but not love or something.
Right.
Which are two totally different things. I don't know. I thought it was a weird, like, especially like the relationship between Troy and Yar. They're supposed to be friends. We don't ever really see them act friendly to each other, except when Yar tries to steal some scarves in the last episode from her apartment.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and then Troy just kind of slut shames her a little bit. Like, I don't know. That was weird. That was not convincing to me at all. And dealt with. In a really awkward way.
Yeah, I don't think the writers of this script are like big Dan Savage readers.
I don't think the writers of this episode know what love is.
I want to know what love is. I want you to...
Damok Angelad at Tanagra. Damok Angelad at Tanagra.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
You know what time it is. It's time for a new segment called... Who's our drunk Shinoda?
Drunk Shinoda!
Oh, man. I think Troy probably would be my nominee.
Yeah. She wouldn't be mine, but I totally get that, because she's acting in a manner that's pretty far out of character. We don't really get what she's doing or why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. It's a pretty good vote there. I am going to vote for Hagon as my... drunk Shinoda nominee. He seems like someone who might be drunkenly infatuated with a woman he can't have.
Yeah.
And like can't control himself. He can't keep himself from yelling out during the fight, you know, that she needs to protect herself. So that seemed like a kind of a drunk move to me. So
yeah.
My vote for drunk Shinoda is Hagon.
Okay. For people who are keeping their power rankings going at home, that's one tick for Troy and one tick for Hagon.
Good to know.
I am Locutus aboard. You will respond to my questions.
I've got to fly cross-country to visit our buddy Adam Ragusea today, and there have already been two flight delays on the outbound. And as I watch the delays get longer and my travel day get thrown into a shambles, I'm remaining chill. there's nothing I can do but wait. And I'm making my waiting a little better with a microdose gummy. That's because microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help me feel just the right amount of good. We've all seen those videos of people going crazy on airplanes. Well, this isn't that kind of dose at all. This is the kind of dose that makes a long delay at an airport feel a little more bearable. There are all kinds of other uses, and if you've ever considered microdosing, I'd encourage you to give the products from Lumi Labs a try. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com using the promo code SCARVS. Now, these products are available nationwide, and that URL is microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVS. And with that, you can save 30% and free shipping. Again, that's microdose.com, and the promo code is SCARVS. What are the rituals you have in your life? For me, it's a coffee and a dog walk in the morning, a yoga or a Peloton ride after that, a scoop of fiber at night before bed, and at some point in the middle of the day, I take my ritual vitamins, a couple of Essential for Men, and a Symbiotic Plus for gut health. If I can do all those things, I'll feel like I'm doing a good job taking care of my body. Ritual is a science-backed multivitamin with 10 key ingredients. They are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Essential for Men is what I take, and it's a quality multivitamin from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scarves. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scarves for 25% off.
Hi. This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
I am Locutus of Borg. You are Borg.
Let us talk about this next episode, though.
Okay.
So next episode is The Last Outpost. This is the Federation's first ever encounter with the hostile, thievish Ferengi race. The Enterprise...
Just when you thought we couldn't get any more racist.
Yeah. Perhaps the most explicit Jewish stereotype in television history. that is nonetheless carried through to the next two spinoffs of the series. So I guess the Enterprise and some Ferengi get sort of trapped some sort of force field from a presumed dead planet. It turns out to be the Portal, a gatekeeper, the last surviving intelligence of a superior civilization that was wiped out by their star's supernova. The Portal captures both races' scouting teams and tests if they deserve to be spared or put down as hopeless barbarians.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reception is sort of in lockstep to our feelings about it right now. Far too comical to be taken seriously in any way was the description of the Ferengi. And also, while completely ridiculous, they're genuinely hilarious. So, I mean, I think this is one element that was severely lacking from the episode that we just saw. There wasn't really anything intentionally or unintentionally funny about the episode that we saw.
No, it was just uncomfortable and weird.
Yeah, so the one thing I really strongly remember from this episode is that the Ferengi's weapons are these like blue power whips that shoot lightning bolts. They like crack them over their head and lightning bolts fly across the place and hit
Pretty
people.
Pretty badass.
Yeah, I had a Ferengi action figure that had a little plastic bullwhip when I was a kid, and I thought that was like, you know, like everybody's got a fucking ray gun in Star Trek, and I really like the creativity behind that as like a different approach to a weapon. And I think this might be the only time we see that in the entire series.
You know, if Indiana Jones had a whip like that, he wouldn't have had to pull out his gun and shoot that guy in the bazaar.
That guy with the scimitar?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the only thing that can stop a bad Ferengi with a whip is an Indiana Jones with a whip. Is that how the saying goes?
Yeah, I think. Who's going to correct us? No one's listening.
Nope. It's a good point, Adam. It's a good point.
Yeah, keep your emails coming, no one.
I have good news at the end of this episode. As we've been talking, I registered us the website gach.biz.
That's great news.
And I also registered us 1701-d.enterprises, just because it's too good not to have.
We're going to get tired of spelling out gach to all of our friends, trying to direct them to our website. So
I don't know that we will be directing anybody to it. So
yeah, also, what friends?
That's a good point. A lot of things are crystallizing here. Yeah. I think that probably just about does it for this ep. You got anything else to add, or?
No, I think we've been through everything that we found embarrassing about the show. Hopefully, yep. Things are going to get better. Do you want to use your veto on the next one?
No, I want to see these Ferengis. How about you?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, the one thing I do remember about this episode is that the ship reveal was a big thing. The Ferengi fly into the Enterprise backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just sort of like pull the e-brake and flip it around. And then that's supposed to be really intimidating, right? I don't know why. That might be the only thing I remember from the entire first season. Is how ridiculous that moment was.
The rest of it you've shed out of your memory is traumatic.
Yeah, so far for good reason.
Yeah, well, we will be back at you next week with that episode. I've been Ben Harrison.
I've been Adam Pranica. Don't Google us.
Don't call, don't write.